December 23rd, 2011, meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees is hereby called to order.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Here.
Trustee Anderson.
Here, present.
A quorum exists for business of the board. To begin, Ms. Wheeler, will you certify that the notice for this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of Open Meetings Act?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the meeting notice requirement has been met.
I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the previous minutes.
So moved. Second.
Properly moved and second.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee Anderson.
Yes.
We'll move to the revised board regulations. This will be the first reading. Attorney Neal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In your packets, you should have a draft of the proposed changes to board regulations. It is about a 70-page document that looks like this. We have also provided a short-form version for easy reference for those that don't enjoy late-night reading of legal documents. And the genesis of these two documents is that at the suggestion of the administration and the general counsel's office, a ad hoc committee was formed to conduct a comprehensive review of the board regulations. Such a review has not been accomplished since the year 2000. So this committee, which was composed of the provost, the general counsel's office, director of human resources, and Dr. Williams and Ms. Epting from my office, reviewed all the regulations for both on a substantive basis as well as for any procedural updates to reflect changes in the law or updates that exist that have been passed in the legislature for the past 11 years. What you have in summary version as well as long-form version are those two documents. It's meant today, no action is required, just meant for your review, and there will be time, I think, at the next meeting to discuss these in further detail.
Any questions from the board? We will have president's report. President Watson.
Report will be rather short, sir. And the Senate has put forth a performance-based funding that they have mandated for the state of Illinois. And what this is that they are stating that all universities will be funded starting about 2014, 2015, based on having met specific metrics. It's a committee composed of about 20 individuals. There are, I think there are three presidents on there. And Chicago State University, just coincidentally, has three individuals on a committee of 20. David, our trustee member, is representing all students throughout the state. Tim Harrington, a faculty member from Chicago State and the College of Education, is representing
the Illinois Federation of Teachers.
The IFT for the entire state. And I have been selected to be one of three representatives of all the university presidents throughout the entire state. It is a coincidence, but it's a good one for us. So we are looking at very detailed information as to what performance measures going forward various universities, each university will be measured and will be funded on. Those are being discussed. We've had about two or three meetings, David?
The third one will be this month. We have had two so far.
Yeah. And I will keep the board apprised of the situation and give a much more detailed one that next time. That's my report, sir.
Great. Thanks, Mr. President. Any questions from the board on that? I'm going to ask Ms. Henderson if she can give us a financial aid update. Is she here?
She is still investing.
Okay. We'll move that back. Let's go into our reports. I'm going to ask Trustee Hill, give us the update on academic and student affairs.
The committee met first thing this morning, and there are two action items coming out of the meeting. The first is that the committee recommends that the board approve the conferment of tenure for Dr. Miriam Mobley-Smith, who is the professor in the Department of Pharmacy Practice, the College of Pharmacy, had been through the whole tenure process and recommended by the president. So I hereby move that we grant tenure to Dr. Miriam Mobley-Smith.
Is there a second?
A second.
Properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
The second action item is the recommendation to confer the title of Professor Emeritus to Robert Meeker, who is retired at the end of last year. Is a professor of library and instructional services, and who had moved the university and its library resources very much into the 21st century, from what we are told. So we enthusiastically recommend and move that we confer that title.
Is there a second?
Second.
Properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
That concludes my report.
Thanks, Trustee Hill. Any questions from the board on academic and student affairs? If not, we'll move to finance and audit. Trustee Scott?
Good afternoon. We had a fairly robust and lengthy discussion during the finance and audit committee. And out of that meeting, I think there were, action items are listed in our agenda. There were four resolutions presented by Dr. Yvonne Harris in the grants area, and two resolutions were presented by Ms. Zico Dillon from the IT department. Those action items were passed in our committee and are now being presented to the full board for consideration.
Is there a motion to approve these resolutions?
I move that we approve the resolutions.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
Any other questions from the board on finance and audit? If not, I'm actually going to have Ms. Henderson come up and give the financial aid update.
Thank you, Chairman. For the record, my name is Angela Henderson, and I am the Vice President for Enrollment Management. My financial aid update includes an overview of the two or three articles that have been in the media over the past summer regarding 298 students who were alleged to have received inappropriate financial aid funds, as well as an article that stated that 449 students might have received inappropriate state MAP funds. We are currently reviewing each and every file of the 298 and 449 students. And as soon as the review is over, we will make that report available to Dr. Watson, and he will report the the amount, if there is an amount, to the board regarding the number of students who may have received the funds as a result of the enforcement of the academic dismissal policy, as well as the state funds.
Any questions for Ms. Henderson? Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's move to facilities. Trustee Finney did chair that discussion today. I'll just speak on his behalf briefly. There were no action items. We just received an update from Ms. Horton on the various projects that are ongoing. I say ongoing because that's exactly what they are. But no action items were taken. Irma, anything on legislative or human resources? I know we didn't meet today, but
no,
do you have anything to add?
General Assembly has not met since May, so there's no.
Thank you. Let's move to Civil Service Merit Board. Trustee Hill?
I have nothing to report.
And Foundation, is Kate here? Can I have you come up and just give an update on the gala, which I thought was fantastic, but I don't want to steal it from you because I thought you did such a great job. Would love for you to update the board on where we are with that. It was a great event, but I don't want to take it. You got to do it.
I'll defer to you for that. Good afternoon. My name is Kate Assem. I'm executive director of the CSU Foundation. Just a couple of items to update you on. We have completed the acquisition of the pension papers and the depository of the collections from the pension family. We had an event here on June 23rd to celebrate the acquisition and the deposit of the papers. So the library, we work very closely with Dean Darger, and that's gone through. The other acquisition of artifacts that we're working on is artifacts from Provident Foundation Hospital, And that's almost complete.
Coming up over 6.
And we should be having an event relative to that as well. We held our golf outing on June 7th, and that went well. A couple of people hit good balls. President was there to greet all of the people who were there, so we felt very good about
I'm worried
that.
About the money, not President's handicap. I'll be
The golf outing continues to be a way in which to grow our fundraising capability. We didn't raise a lot of money. It raised about $15,000, but nevertheless, we were able to give out some scholarships as a result of that. The gala was held this past week. Our honoree was Don Thompson, president and COO of McDonald's. I want to thank those members of the CFU family who were there and who contributed to it. From my perspective, I thought it was a very well-attended gala. We had over 400 attendees at the gala. I also want to take this moment to extend special thanks to David Anderson for his stellar speech that he gave on behalf of CSU. David's speech has been reported in Crain's and several newspapers around the city, and it is making a buzz on the internet. And I think that in the last year, it's probably the most positive news that has come out on CSU. So David, thank you very much.
It's my university.
It's our university.
That's right.
In the same spirit, I thought that Mr. Thompson spoke very highly of CSU and said some very good things about our university. He has indicated himself as being a friend of CSU. We're working with him to arrange a visit to the campus. He's been here once before. He was here in this room, and we had an event here in this room with him. But we're going to be arranging to have him come back and have direct interaction with some of our students. So that's that. The gala, we have raised to date over $250,000, and we're still counting. We're still calling people and trying to get their pledges. So if there are any people in here who would want to make contributions to the gala, I hope you will. We'll be very glad to receive your contribution. And Chairman Rozier, I hope you did pass out copies of the gala book that I presented. That's my report.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you very much.
Let's move to student report. Trustee Anderson.
Well, I also want to mention to the foundation administration and the trustee board. I think the gala, beyond the, you know, myself, but the gala was just like fantastic. And so I got reports back from presidential scholars and some of the students that were there, their mentors that they were assigned with. Most of them called them back and were they're in like a mentor-mentee relationship. So I think also that everybody needs a hand that were part of the gala. So thank you. Just a few highlights. I just want to highlight from the student perspective. One is that we now have a new game room and Mac computers that are on the second floor of the Student Union building. The game room includes, we have four new pool tables, we have a air hockey machine, a basketball, like, I forget what they call it, but you know, you play basketball like in the Chuck E. Cheese, something like that, and some other new amenities. So we're happy about that. Also, I know that we've got have new Mac computers that are in student activities that have arrived. Students have, you know, talked about constantly, you can't have enough computers on campus for students. So this is a great thing, and also activities. Also, there were lower registration wait times this year. Moving forward, I actually myself went into the convention center and was timing some of the, specifically like Bursar and some of the longer lines that are usually there. Also, we finished the SGA debates and elections. We do now have our president, who is Roderica Ballard, and our IBHE representative, who is Ebony Blair. I do sit on the IBHE board, but it's great that we have someone on the board from Chicago State and a representative, so we're able to, our voice will be heard from both sides. And then the, one of the last highlights is that we have a new cafeteria with improved customer service and quality. I was very shocked that the Thompson staff, they were out of, they were outside the cafeteria greeting students, talking to students. Some of the cafeteria staff that students perceive as rude have been dismissed. And so I just wanted to make that highlight. There are just a couple situations, and we actually, some of these were addressed earlier, but for public record, we want to make sure that we address these. Situation one was about the UPass and the implementation. Some students had seen it as unfair and unjust to non-participating users of the UPass. Students don't know why they are being are paying for personal parking and a supplemental cost for UPass users. The impact of this, that the perception of the money that could be used for other educational means are being kept by the university with no opt-out clause with the UPass. The recommendations are literature that is distributed explaining how the UPass works, and also the ability for students to opt out of the UPass. If I think Dr. Watson or someone want to speak on that measure, because I know we had some discussions about that.
In terms of the UPass, the specifics in terms of opting out.
No, we can't opt out. Go ahead. Yes.
Actually, President Watson, I don't think it's necessarily a board issue. I would recommend that you meet with David and the appropriate students to take up that particular issue. Okay. All right, so that's okay by you, Trustee.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no problem. Situation two was, this was also addressed earlier too, but the Department of Education has strictly enforced its policy of SAP, which greatly disenfranchising scores of CSU students. SAP, what it does, it mandates that a certain GPA and class completion requirements are met. If not, then students cannot receive financial aid or Pell grants. A couple burdens or impact on the students that further burdens of taking out loans to complete their education, loss of credit hours because they may have to transfer to another institution, and potential scrutiny from the media for retention rates, and which hinders the university's brand and degree and the degree holder. Some of the recommendations were that additional resources be identified to possibly supplement the loss of federal financial aid so deserving students can continue at CSU, and also that a public relations PR plan be put into effect to counter any potential media scrutiny. The situation number three dealt with the Career Development Center. Over the past month, the Career Development Center has been downsized from 5 to 2 staff, with another staff member leaving at the end of this month. The Career Development Center is where students receive, of course, workforce skills, find jobs, internships, and co-ops. Given the economy, the impact is pretty simple, that students are concerned about the relationships with employers and will they be able to get their jobs, given that it's going through transition. Recommendation, just develop the strategic plan to continue the service without major interruption to CSU students, and present the strategic plan to the student body, including the action steps that are in place to replenish such a vital office. The last situation is that students have said that they repeatedly have gotten no response via telephone or email from certain administrative offices. The impact, of course, is unresolved issues, missed wages, or frustration because a student, they think that they have to come in person in order to get something done. So the recommendations is that, what is that one action, that students are calling administrative offices and departments to see who responds within that 24 to 48 hour time frame. Thus far, 4 out of the 7 offices responded within this 24-hour time frame. This is also information we can give to the president, and also continue to make customer service a high priority agenda for the university.
Thanks, trustee.
That concludes my report.
Any questions for student trustee?
Yes, I move that we adjourn recess into executive session to discuss employment matters, legal matters, collective bargaining matters, and executive session minutes prior to December 2009.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's probably moved and second.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
All right, we had a couple action items in that we discussed in executive session. I'm going to have Attorney Neal go through the remaining action items. Attorney Neal?
Yes, there was one action taken in executive session that requires a vote in open session, and that is the resolution entitled Destruction of Executive Session Minutes Prior to December 2009. In executive session, the board reviewed the state laws that relates to the destruction of executive session minutes and its requirement in order to do so. We reviewed it and discussed it. I would ask that you, for a motion to approve that resolution with one amendment, and that is that the meeting minutes for September 2009 be excluded from this authority to destroy.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's properly moved and seconded.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill? Trustee?
Oh, yes, sorry.
Of the 4100 contract. There was a description of that contract, and it does require a vote in open session.
I move that we approve it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Properly moved and second.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
There are no other items, Mr. Chairman, that require a vote in open session.
Great. Thanks, Attorney Neal. I will allow this time for public and employee comments.
Yes, my name is Tony Cole. I'm a transfer student from Loyola University. I started attending Chicago State University this summer, and I had a situation. I enrolled in strategic management. I think it's 4890. I did not register myself for the class. 5 minutes before the final, Dr. Awan, which is the professor, asked me to go see the dean. I went to go see the dean, and the dean came to the door, and I said, "I'm Tony Cole," and he said, "How can I help you?" And I said, "My professor sent me up here." And he said, "Oh," he said, "yeah, Tony Cole." He said, "You're being dropped from the class." I said, "I'm sorry, sir." I said, "This is the 6 week into the session." I said, "Today is the final." He said, "Yeah, but you do not meet the prerequisites to be in this class." So I said, "Sir," I said, "I did not register myself for the class." I said, "My credits shows that I have an equivalent of a bachelor's, but since I transferred, then I have to meet the requirements." And I said, "Your chairman, Mr. Martin Roosevelt, registered me for the class because he seen that I had the background and the experience to be in this class." So he said, "But you're missing the point. You do not meet the prerequisites." So I said, "Okay, sir, so what do I do?" I said, "Because my belongings is in the class." So he stepped to me in a physical way and stepped into the mic. And so I looked at him and I said, "Are you serious?" So I said, "Please, sir, can you please give me my space?" He said, "I will," and he stepped back. So at that time, I contacted the president's office immediately. I called, I left a message, and then I met with Ms. Joy Hearn, the president's executive secretary. And so after that, I emailed the president's office like 4 times. I never got a response from the president. His secretary, Joy Hearns, emailed me back, and I never could get a time to meet with him. I have all the documents that I need to present. I also filed a petition, and it takes 60 days for a response, and I think today is like the 43rd day of that petition, but I can't get back my time with that class. And then I had another situation, which is economic class, Dr. B, and she tried to persuade and convince me that I earned the B in the class when I kept all my tests, kept history of everything that I've done, and I know that with the point scale on the syllabus, I know I earned the A. So I asked to meet with her, and she sent me an email, you know, breaking down these numbers and things like that, and I said, "I understand, but those are not my points." I said, "I have my grades, which you graded my papers." So then we met, I went to her office, and I said, "Can I see your grading scale?" I said, "Can I see the sheet that you grade everyone on?" And when I looked at the sheet, she was looking at my paperwork. And I seen that a student made a 30 on the first test, but then the student got a B in the class. A 30 on the first test out of 100, that would be impossible knowing that we do not have any extra credit. So then she say, "Do not take my class again. I will change your grade, but do not take my class again." So she changed my grade to an A. And today I would like to be compensated for my time. It has caused me a great deal of stress throughout this semester to continue at a high level of performance. And I must say that the president did reach out to the foundation that pays for my education concerning the money, but he did not reach out to me.
Thanks for your comment.
Thank you.
Philip Beverly, Political Science. Turf wars involving administrators resemble Hobbes's state of nature more than ancient Athens. They are nasty and brutish, albeit of indeterminate length. Faculty turf wars can elevate mundane interests into matters of high principle that inform and educate the community. Administrators, on the other hand, are more likely to ignore or fail to see the large principles that may be at stake in a dispute and to focus entirely on the questions of who is in charge, how many people will report to them, and who will be invited to go on the next administrative retreat. The Fall of the Faculty, Benjamin Ginsberg, Oxford Press, 2011. I give you that as reference to any of the comments that you may hear today. I would like every board meeting and committee meetings to last 5 minutes at best, and gavels be banged, and business be transacted, and we be in happy, happy, joy, joy land. And unfortunately, I believe that as the body with the fiduciary responsibility for this university, you're getting about half the story about what's going on here. And I believe that I could say with some degree of confidence that faculty have a very different perspective on what's going on here that you probably need to be informed about.
Hi, I'm Pancho McFarland, Associate Professor of Sociology here at Chicago State University. And I think one of those things that you might need to be aware of is the wonderful and amazing things that faculty and students do on a regular and continuous basis. Trustee Samuels might be interested in the new urban agriculture program that we have going and the ongoing attempts by students and faculty to redress social justice issues, injustice issues around food and poverty in our neighborhoods. All that we do, in spite of a number of administrative roadblocks for faculty. For example, this summer I was on campus working, but many of my colleagues were not, as their 10-month employees. But we were called to a meeting to let us know that the College of Arts and Sciences was going to be reorganized and our department was going to be dissolved and reorganized. This is a department, the department was Geography, Sociology, Economics, and Anthropology, a well-run department, and has been for a number of years. I'm not exactly sure what the department that I'm in now is, because I've never been notified of the new changes to our college and our department. There's rumors that our department is now made up of Geography, Sociology, African American Studies, Anthropology, and History. And I guess I see those folks, and they're my new colleagues in the department, but I still am unaware because I have not been officially notified. The rearranging of the College of Arts and Sciences shows two problems that many of us have relative to a number of administrative decisions concerning shared governance and concerning communication. Shared governance, the faculty is the body on this campus that conducts the primary mission of the university, which is to teach. Unfortunately, we're not consulted about, often not consulted about academic matters that affect us, such as rearranging the colleges or rearranging departments. So that's the first problem, is shared governance. The second problem is communication. As I mentioned before, none of us knew that this was happening. We were not consulted. We were not asked if this would make sense, especially given that we know, because we've been working for a very long time and very hard at trying to develop our curriculum and develop collegial atmosphere in our departments, on and on and on. It would help our university, especially given the accreditation that is coming up, that faculty who are the experts in these matters be not only consulted, but be the ones who are making those types of decisions with consultation from administration. The last issue is that we're concerned about accountability. When these decisions are made and we don't know who is making the decisions, again, because we're not communicated to about these decisions, but when these decisions are made, and many of them may lead us into failure as a university, how are we going to hold those people who make those decisions accountable? And I ask you, as the people who are entrusted with the functioning of this university, to hold those accountable who are making these decisions. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments.
Good afternoon. My name is Philip Krantz. I'm a professor in the philosophy department. and I have several comments. But first, I would like you to know that my point in speaking is not primarily a destructive comment or in any way critical of the decisions that were made. Rather, I'm sharing with you some of my concerns about the process in a little bit more detail following my colleague Pancho. First of all, as a philosopher, I'm trained to try to see the large picture. And what I'm about to share with you is a bit more of the minutiae and the detail. But before I do that, I want to qualify my comments by indicating what some of you may not know about me. I spent 7 years here coordinating the Turning of the Centuries Conference. 7 years, the invited speakers here, and a lot of very good press about the scholarship and work of my colleagues here, several with key speakers, then Senator Barack Obama, former Senator Paul Simon, respected scholars Studs Terkel and Martin Marty of the University of Chicago. And I spent many years coordinating that and contributing to the positive atmosphere that the Chicagoland community would see in this institution. Secondly, it was an attempt to share scholarship of the faculty with the students. So it was not simply a gesture to inform Chicago's community about Chicago State, it was also to actively engage students in the process of creating scholarship and the production of knowledge. I've served for 10 years as on the Gen Ed Committee, 3 as chair, 7 as secretary. I've also been 10 years on the University Institutional Review Board, 3 as chair. I work on the Higher Learning Commission. I've been on several search committees. The point is that I'm committed to Chicago State and its success. So I want that to be the context of the comments I'd like to share with you. The comments are 3-part and followed by a question. The first comment has to do with the elimination of the economics program. This document is the result of the APERC committee, of which I was the secretary, the Academic Program Elimination Review Committee. And this committee spent the 3 weeks that we had charged to make this decision with a 6-page document. And the first question I'd like to ask is, did the board members receive at least the electronic copy of the faculty's recommendation on this matter? Okay. No, I'm sure that it was. But could I hear from the board? Okay, thank you very much. This document contained 4 recommendations, the point of which is not to be critical of the decision, but the concerns that the decision raised, which have to do with process, the notification to the affected faculty members, the notification to the student community, the fact that none of these things had been done, the fact that the decision up to the point at which APERC was convened contained several contradictory and very disconcerting issues. Namely, 15 of the 17 faculty that were asked about this when they reviewed the data recommended a 1-year probationary period. And the people that had recommended primarily the ending of the program were on the Academic Review Committee non-voting members, or at least there's some unclarity about what the nature of the vote was with regard to the Program Review Committee. These raise some troubling questions about how that decision was made and how to move forward. So again, I'm not critiquing the decision, I just want the process in a bit more detail to be transformed so that were this committee convened again and were these decisions entertained again, proper notification and transparency of the reasons for these recommendations are clear to the faculty. The second comment has to do with the Board of Governors program, the non-traditional degree program. APERC was not convened about the elimination of those programs, and we have some concerns about whether or not the students and the faculty and the university community in general have been informed about why this program, which contributed a great number of students to our enrollment, has been ended. And then the third issue has to do with the general education of our students. Again, as 10 years chair, 3 years as chair and 10 years a member of this committee, the changing of the Gen Ed assessment outcomes that are happening right now, and there are only 2 more days to make electronic comments only to 1 steering committee, the faculty has had very little input into this process. The Gen Ed assessment outcomes are extremely important to the success of our students, and I'm concerned. When I send an email to my entire department and 50% of the responses that I receive, none of my colleagues know or are aware even of the process that is about to be completed. And so rather than just simply dismiss this as faculty lack of concern, maybe it points to the larger issue of communication. at another level that we really need to be doing a little bit better job on, so that faculty can share in the vision that our president and the current administration has to move the institution forward. I thank you.
Thank you. Nice to see you, former trustee.
Hello, how is everyone?
Good.
Please excuse, I have gym clothes on. This is very impromptu, but since today we do have a board meeting, this is the best place to bring this up. My grievance here is in regards to Thompson's Hospitality. As you know, they have extended hours for students. They have made some other conditions available, things that and the other. But the reason I am here is because although they've extended those hours, students who have commuter meal plans who do not live in the dorms are not allowed to use their meal plan cards that they pay into after 8 p.m. So they require cash or debit or credit payments. This is deceitful when you are selling and pushing, you know, for students to take advantage of commuter meal plans. And then, you know, when they get out of class at 10 o'clock and are still hungry and the caf is still open, they can't use what they've already paid into with their tuition. So I am here on behalf of other students who are frustrated, angry, and upset because they have paid hundreds of dollars into these commuter meal plans, knowing that at different times during the semester they're not going to have money in their accounts or in their pockets, and yet they cannot eat with the consideration of these additional hours because they are being told you have to pay in a different form of currency. Now, I don't know if this is price gouging or just trying to make an extra profit or what, but this is not in the best interest of our students. If this is the case, then they shouldn't, you know, push so hard for meal plans. When I asked, you know, what sense does this make, the answer that was given to me was along the lines of, oh, well, our system hasn't adjusted to the time change or something, which honestly makes no sense. If you can process a payment at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, why can't you at 10 o'clock at night if your facility is still open and operating at 100%? So I am here simply not as a former trustee member or SGA. I'm here as a student who has been hearing the complaints of other students who are frustrated because if they pay $400 and something for all these meals, why can't they use a meal when they need it? That is all. Thank you. I have to get my son. He's doing great. First grade's wonderful. So thank you all. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, board. I just had lunch with you wonderful people. But my concern, it just dawned on me listening to the teachers, the faculty, and being a history major, and remind you, I was here over the summertime. I took classes. And throughout the summer to now, my chairperson over my department has changed 3 times to be exact. It went from Mr. Rowan to Dr. Beatty to someone else I am not currently aware of. But throughout the times of those changes, the student body was not notified. I wasn't notified. Even more important, my advisor was changed. This is the person who's been helping me since my tenure here at Chicago State University. He has been advising my classes, my courses. So throughout from then to now, I have been advised by 3 different people. And that will lead to some mix-up with this young man because 3 different people advising you on what classes you should and shouldn't take. Someone is going to advise you on the wrong classes to take. Now, I am unaware of the rift between the administration and the faculty, but it's apparent the students is caught in between something. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Ann Coosdale. I'm a professor in the history department. And I've been thinking about an old quote. I think it was a toast given in maybe 1910 in Boston. And it was something like, "So this is Boston, home of the baked bean and the cod, where the Lowells speak only to the Cabots, and the Cabots speak only to God." And I've been thinking about that in terms of the organization at Chicago State. I have in my hands a copy of the 2003 report from the accreditation of that year, which maybe some of you trustees are familiar with. I think maybe even some of you were here at that time. But within this document, under three criteria, the faculty are referenced. In criteria two, while governance structures are in place, many faculty, staff, and students do not feel respected nor empowered. Further, there are significant communication gaps in the governance mechanisms. Under criteria three, it's a little bit longer. While the organization has many structures to effectively execute the mission and programs of the university, there is a lack of communication and feedback loops between the hierarchy of these structures to allow for information sharing and recognition of sound practices. This lack allows many anxieties and concerns to rebound through several layers of faculty, staff, and administration before the individual or group with expertise and knowledge base can correct misinformation and communicate chosen avenues of decision making. There is a lack of knowledge about roles and expectations. Many groups and individuals feel slighted, but also do not understand the decision-making process. Communication about how decisions are made and who carries the responsibility for decisions would greatly improve the morale on this campus. For example, faculty were not aware of how the provost search process was established, and many faculty and staff were operating with misinformation or conjectures about the budget. Communication issues extend to students who also expressed concerns about not being heard and about receiving conflicting information from university offices. Throughout the visit, faculty and staff stated that they perceived a lack of respect by the administration. This perspective contributes to low morale. This was in 2003. There's one more quote, but I think you get the idea.